Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. And I'm your host, T.S. Wright. And it is so great to be here with you guys today. And before we start, I want you to go ahead and hit that follow, subscribe button and give us a like. And that way we can continue. That helps us to continue to bring you that amazing content that you love and that we feel so blessed to be able to share with you. So today, you guys are going to get to talk or listen to a guy that you need to hear in the music industry. And this guy is going to enlighten you. He's going to talk about his journey. And we're going to, at the end, talk to you about how you can access his music. So without further ado, Eddie Mann, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Just such a joy to be with you. Looking forward to this.
Well, it's going to be great. So Eddie, without further ado, let's really dive into your story. Talk to us about how God has led you through your journey.
I have to start with the fact that I was really blessed to be brought up in a Christian home. Today, there's so many young kids coming up with people that seem to be lost. And I was brought up in a home where I the Bible was present. God was present. It wasn't one of those getting hit on the head with the Bible and you had to memorize verses. It was none of that. It was being brought up in a household where there was a God, there was a loving God that was there for me 24/7. I saw my parents interact with their faith as a young kid growing up. So there were a lot of seeds planted, and as most most adolescents do, you go through that period where you kind of wander off, and you need to do that because you need to create and find out your avenue, your relationship with God. So there was nothing strange about me doing that. But I was going into my junior year in college, and I decided to take the summer off so I could get music out of my system. And I went on the road to play secular music, and a lifetime later, I never got that music out of my system. That's what I was supposed to be doing in life. And through a period of, I'll say 7 or 8 years, I played as a secular musician, and I reached a point where there was something was missing in my life. The next gig wasn't going to fill the void. The next instrument I could buy, the next woman, the next drug, the next drink, none of that stuff was going to fill that void. And at that point, those seeds that were planted took root. I found my way back to the church I grew up in. And the first service I sat in the back, by myself, I basically wept through the whole service. I really felt I lived out in my own mind what it was like to be the prodigal son and come home. And these people in this congregation hadn't seen me in 10 to 15 years and yet welcomed me and brought me in. So God was setting, his fingerprints. It's such a beautiful story. I was a good musician at this point. I was making a living at it. I could run a band in my sleep. And I met my wife. We decided to have a family right away. I took some time off. I wanted to be home with the kids. I wanted to come home from work each day and lay on the floor and play with the Legos with my kids. And in doing so, I took a job teaching. And I was teaching at a Roman Catholic school in Southwest Philadelphia, where they asked me very politely not to come to Mass when they had Mass, just because I wasn't baptized as a Roman Catholic. So I said, well, that's fine. They said, you can have a free period. And for whatever reason, this one afternoon, I took this free period, and I wrote this song called Swept Up in Joy in 15 minutes, pre-cell phone. I had to wait to get home to tell my wife about it. And my life changed. My life changed that day unbelievably. As my kids became a little independent, I put a little trio together, started writing about more horizontal, not vertically to God, but horizontally about how I was surviving it with my faith in the world at that time. And a pastor that I never met from a church I had never attended called me up one day, said, you have a few minutes? I said, sure. I went over, and 3 hours later, I was a worship leader. He had gotten hold of one of those albums, heard something in it. I gave him my testimony. We sat around and we talked and we cried and we just, we couldn't define what the job was going to be yet. It was so early on. But my life, again, the senior pastor at that church asked me to please write for the church, write in his language, in the church's language. So immediately I was kind of ushered into CCLI and writing for the church. And I had a beautiful run, 20 plus years at that church before I resigned. I thought I was going to be finished. I thought I was going to hang all the instruments on the walls and tell tall tales to my grandchildren. And all of a sudden, I had opportunities to travel and play, to guest lead, things that I could never do when I was leading two or three services every week, every Sunday. And it's been a joyous ride since. It's just been one surprise after another. As an independent musician that's made his living always with an instrument in my hand, we've got two homes, one up in Pennsylvania, one down where I'm at now, down in Melbourne Beach, Florida. And God has just smiled on me in that. Now, I've worked hard. I worked hard, as I said, to be a good secular musician. I could lead a band in my sleep. I had a little career, a real short little career as an educator, which taught me how to teach. But then I was thrust into being a spiritual leader. And let me share, I wasn't very good at it. whenever I see ladies and gentlemen from that first year and a half, even though I've done it over and over again, the first thing I always do when I see them is apologize for my behavior the first couple of years, because I was a professional musician. I was brought up in an environment where if the musicians didn't meet the mark, I fired them and I got somebody else. They were getting paid to do a job. And the missing component here was that I was the only one getting paid. Everybody else was a volunteer. And it took a little while. God worked on me and made me realize that if I could make them sound like they were getting paid on Sunday morning, then, and that was thumbs up, man, we were in good shape. So I'm still writing, still recording, still releasing music. Still joyfully finding out every quarter that there are small churches and little areas that are being able to use the music that the Spirit has worked through me. God bless my wife. She's the only one that has to hear the songs I write. I prefer to take the ones that the Spirit writes through me to the church. But it's, again, I, you know, I, to anyone who's young, who is trying to figure this thing out, boy, just be yourself. The more I just was myself. I didn't, you know, the world doesn't need another Chris Tomlin. We got one. He's really good. You need to develop who you are so that God can use you, your voice, your message, to the people that he deems, and not me. I can't pick and choose. You know, I write every day. I always feel like if whatever I wrote today, it basically is my job to get it in some form of media that he can use in the world today. And if I do that, he can touch the one person that needs to be touched by that particular song or that lyric, whatever, on that given day. And that's a win. That's always a win. And it helps shelter. It helps shelter someone as an independent. I don't owe people product. You know, I owe God my best each day, but I don't owe any kind of company product, so to speak. I don't have to worry about measured hits. Every single person that is in ministry wants to reach as many people as possible. I get that. That's kind of human nature, and I'm that way. I would love, you know, for God to pick and choose. But again, most of the time, we don't even know the seeds we plant. We don't know which ones are taking root and which ones aren't. So if there was ever a sign that God wanted us to hold on to, I mean, or a vision to hold on to, that's it right there. It's not about anything else except, you know, doing your job each day and doing it to the best of your ability to please him.
Amen. Amen. So, Eddie, I have a question. And
sure.
You know, talk about, like, what is one of your songs that you've done, obviously. What's one of your favorite songs that you've done? I mean, talk about maybe making that song, what that's like, you know, kind of the process of all of that.
Yeah.
You know, kind of enlighten our listeners.
I've got a number of songs that have that have engaged more than others. And they're the ones that are always kind of my favorite because I'm in this to spread the gospel. You know, I could tickle my own little fancy in the studio and play something and sing it one day, but it's not the same as seeing God use something. When I first was hired on as a worship leader, I was hired on by the teaching pastor. I met the senior pastor, and he said, "I heard you're going to start tomorrow, Sunday morning." He had sat in on a Saturday night service I was doing. And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I want you to write something, a new setting for the doxology." And I said, "Yeah, sure." I said, "Well, when do you need that by?" He said, "Tomorrow morning." I looked at him and he smiled and he said, "You know, I've heard what you write. Just write me something tomorrow. And it just doesn't have to be the one we're going to use forever. But, and if you, you know," I don't know whether it was a test to see whether I would rely on the Spirit to do it, because I certainly wasn't, you know, it was never going to be about me. I wrote this little piece of music for the doxology. This was back in early 2005. And it's been the most endearing piece of music to this day. I don't ever do an event, any event, without ending with it. And I love that over the years, I've grown to be able to sing, do an a cappella verse of the traditional version of it. And on the back side of that, as we fade on that last word, I'll bring in this different reimagined version. And I think the fact that I'm actually looking, excuse me, next summer with doing another recording of it, kind of an updated rendition of it, because the only one I have is from 2008, and it still works well, but it's grown. You know, the songs are alive; they're growing all the time and changing, and so I'm kind of looking forward to reaching that point again. But that song, more than any other, I think I have a secondary song that tickles me because there's a K-8 school in Ireland that must use a particular song that I wrote every Wednesday for their chapel. This has been going on for over 10 years. You know, if anybody that writes for CCLI, you don't get nobody. They don't tell you the home address of church or somebody that's doing your music, but they will itemize things. And there's this itemized one little school in Ireland that does a song called All Are Welcome, and it was a gathering song. And it would probably be a bucket list thing for me. I would love on one Wednesday just to be able to sneak in the back of that little, my mind pictures this little old building in Ireland. I would love to just sneak in the back, sit back there, don't even tell them I'm there, and just listen to them sing this song, because they must do it really well after all these years. But little things like that, boy, that just stokes the fire. Stokes the fire to stay at it, keep working at it.
Amen. Amen. I like the, I'm intrigued by your story, how you keep talking about you retire and then you do another one and you retire and do that. You know, I will tell you that I think it's important that, sometimes we have a plan and then God has a plan. And God's plan always wins out. Let's just cut to the chase. And you and I were talking about just like my writings. I mean, I started writing in 2016, and I remember even trying to get the thing published back in the late 2018, 2019 timeframe, and nothing worked out. And it just wasn't time. It wasn't God's time. And now I'm actually finalizing the final manuscript to send off to be published. So I have a publisher and it's all set up and it's going to get done. And so now we're off and flying. So it's amazing how that works. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, that's just, you've kind of found that same rhythm. So.
I admittedly spend way too much time in his way. I mean, if I could just get out of God's way together, we could do so much more. So, it's being human.
Exactly. You're right. Yep. Just getting out of his way. And I think for so many of you guys listening, if you feel that tension, that overstriving, all this stuff where you're trying to do it all in your own thing, I just advise you, ask God, what is it I need to do? And what is it I need to just get out of the way of?
Isn't that great? I've adopted this thing in the morning. The first thing I do is I just want to verbally say, God, I love you.
Amen.
When I get up. And number two, I want to thank him for that first breath, because he's given me another opportunity. But number three is, God, what do you want me to do today?
Amen.
What do you want me to do today? Because if not, I got a laundry list of things I want to do. but I need to check in with him first and make that the preface. That goes first. Lord, what do you want me to do today?
Amen.
It helps me a great deal.
I will tell you guys, one thing that I do is 6 out of the 7 days of the week, I kind of follow the script of I pray in the morning. And it's just whatever God lead me in whatever direction, what is the focus? Where is it at? I put the ministry, I pray over it. And it always feels like during that time of prayer, God just naturally leads me into what he wants me to do for that day. But there's always one day a week I take a break from that. And that is actually from the command of God. He wants me just to take a break from all that. And just, a lot of times I'll just go, we may just drive somewhere, just do something off the ordinary, or it's like that one thing that we do. I may just veg out for the day and just chill and just rest, because let's remember, even God rested on the seventh day.
Amen. Amen.
So that's 6 days a week. I do that. And then that one day a week. So again, back to our audience, have that one time, have that space of time each week that you unplug. And God wants you to do that. He gave you that time to do that. So I think that's so important. So Eddie, talk about this. And you talked a little bit about, your plan, and sometimes you're playing out there, and then sometimes it's just you helping in a church. Talk about some of the differences there. I'm kind of curious about that.
I was sharing something with a worship leader buddy that I've known for a long time. And I said, for years, being the worship leader in the church, everything that went wrong was always your fault. everything kind of came back on you. I mean, you take on, you kind of take, you're the figurehead. You're taking kind of the responsibility. And when the waters would get choppy, I would remind my congregation during the week. I'd say, you know, I work so hard on this music. I pray over it all week long. In fact, on Saturday night, sometimes the worst thing anybody on the tech team could get would be an email from me, because that means I've changed something again, and they're just worried about it for the next morning. I said, so if there's something wrong here, what I really want you to do is take it to God, because it's the spirit working through me that's choosing these songs each week. So, one of the biggest changes for me has been the fact, from a human aspect, is that I go into a church, I offer what's on my heart or what the Spirit has put on my heart, and I leave. And I never have the bad kind of fallback noise that all churches have. That's one thing. On the other side, not being a part of an ongoing congregation anymore, I really, really miss the fellowship. I'll be going to church on a Wednesday morning, and I could sit on the platform and I could pray individually for family and singular prayer, because they all sat in the same place every week. So I could actually sit there and pray for them. I had that kind of relationship with them. I missed that part of it. So on one side, okay, I got a little more freedom to get in and get out. And I don't have to deal with the back and forth that goes. If they really don't like what I did, they're going to take it to someone else. They're not going to take it to me. And same, you know, it goes the opposite way. And I do, boy, I go out of my way to tell people to converse with me on whatever platform they're comfortable with, because nothing better than having touching a nerve on somebody that doesn't like something, or you took them to a place they don't want to be. I want to be in conversation with them. I don't want to run away from that, because maybe I've gone out of bounds. How am I going to know if I don't, if I'm not in conversation with them? So I love the traveling. I love meeting the new people. It's great. I love going into churches I've never been in, especially the older ones that have all this history. My wife and I, when I'm in between dates from one place to another, when we're traveling, the first thing on our list is are there any historical churches or any places we could stop? Number two are labyrinths. Can we just, you know, can we find a labyrinth or something to go to? Number three is, God bless my wife, vintage clothing stores. So there's always going to be pros and cons, I think, to any kind of situation you find yourself in.
Amen. Amen. So, well, Eddie, we're getting close to wrapping up, and I could keep going on and on. I could ask you a million questions, and would obviously love to be able to do that. But here we go, as we're getting close to the end. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can find your music, and maybe a few song titles or albums that you have out there right now that you think they should definitely plug in and listen to?
Sure. Eddyman.com, EDDYMANN.com is always the first place to start, because I have control over it. I just noticed in the past year, Spotify dropped three of my albums. I have no, it looks like I took a hiatus for 2 years, between 2016 and 2018. Basically all the streaming platforms have my music. There's a number of podcasts out there, different, the usual sites. You can pick them up at Spotify, Apple, Podbean. I do two live streams each week. Mondays, I do one with my wife, just talking about how we negotiate through the week, and we're always looking for God's fingerprints each day and how that works out. And on Thursday night, I've been doing a live stream called Evensong, which is more of a prayer, a shorter prayer and worship type of event. Last two albums, my last worship album was an album called Chapel Songs, that has been really nice, because it was written for the small church. It was I wanted to write something easy and simple for them, and an album after that from last June, Turn Up the Divine. I've had five or six singles from that now, and God has blessed that over and over and over.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to include all this in the show notes and make sure you guys get everything that you need. And Eddie, I just want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure having you here. And you know what? We may just have to do this again sometime. So
I would love to anytime. This was a blessing. Appreciate sharing with you.
I love it. So anyway, without further ado, I just want to thank our Kingdom Crossroads community for tuning in. And again, hit that follow subscribe button and give us a like. On behalf of myself and Eddie, I say, as I always say, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Amen.